Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended June 30, 2023. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Ms. A. Manimekhalai, Executive Directors, Sri Nitesh Ranjan, Sri Nidhu Saxena, Sri Rama Subramanian S., and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Kumar Jadli, Deputy General Manager, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Sunil Jadli, Head of Investor Relations, welcome you all for the Union Bank of India earnings con call for the period ended June 30, 2023. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by respected MD and CEO Madam, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I will read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investors' interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual results to differ from these statements. Investors are therefore requested to check these information independently before making any investments or other decisions. With this, I now request our respected MD and CEO Madam for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon. It is my pleasure to welcome our analysts and investor community of Union Bank of for the Union Bank of India's financial results for the quarter ended June 2023. We are grateful for your continued support and feedback that helps us to take informed decisions. The banking sector performance remains strong, supported by the robust economic activities and resultant pickup in the credit growth. Our bank's performance for the Q1 FY24, we have achieved a good set of numbers in terms of profit and profitability, asset quality, capital adequacy, among others. The total business of the bank has crossed 19.5 trillion. And the operating profit of the bank registered a growth of YOY growth of 32%. Net profit of the bank has grown by almost 108%. NIM has improved to 3.13, registering a 13 basis points increase in YOY. ROA has improved to 1% for the quarter ended June 23, registering 47 basis points YOY. PCR of the bank has also improved to 90.86%. We have significant improvement in our asset quality. When the gross NPA has come down by 288 bps, our net NPA has come down by 173 bps. Total deposits of the bank has registered a YOY growth of 13.6%, and credit cost of the bank has come down to 97 bps. And the all my RAM portfolio, whether it be retail, agriculture, or MSME, have shown good growth over and above 12%. So I would like now to request my ED, Mr. Nitesh Ranjan, to speak a little on the digital initiatives that the bank has taken. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. So I'll start from where we left in the last meeting, that was on 6th of May when we were discussing the Q4 con call. And we shared some of the numbers that we are doing on the digital. I just extend that first. So the last time when we were speaking about the new loans that we have done completely digitally, that was around 1.48 lakh accounts aggregating 2,200 crores. From there, in 2.5 months, the account addition only through the digital is 20% growth in 2.5 months, and the volume is 15% growth. Similarly, on the deposit side, since the 6th of May, in 2.5 months, the account and volume accretion only happening through the digital is around 7%. See, over the last few quarters, we have seen that 65% growth is there in digital FD creation. 53% growth is there in loan against deposit taking digitally. Shishu Mudra STP is 38% YOY growth, and 31% of our personal loans portfolio is getting sanctioned fully digitally. Along with that, we also shared last time that we have the digital renewal process for MSME loans up to 10 lakh rupees and the retail loans up to 50 lakh. I'm very happy to share that as on date, 94% of MSME loans, small loans up to 10 lakh are getting renewed, reviewed digitally, and over 80% of retail loans are also getting reviewed digitally, which is creating a lot of customer convenience as well as saving on our OPEX and manpower. As I also shared with you last time that we already have for the digital platform the consultant onboarded, and today we also have the SI system integrator onboarded for that. We have a 2 to 3 year roadmap for the entire digital transformation journey, but that will happen in two phases. And the first phase, now that SI is also onboarded, the first phase of the first MVP is expected in the Q3 of the current year, somewhere between October to December, where we'll be launching many more journeys, which will be on the mobile app, but the web-based journeys. And by Q4 of the current financial year, we'll be transitioning our existing mobile banking platform to new platform, digital platform of microservices-led. And from there on, in FY25, again, we'll be building on 350-plus journeys, and we'll be creating separate assets for the MSME customers, corporate customers, and also building further partnerships like ONDC and the OKEN. As of now, we already have around 100 fintechs empaneled with us, and we are working to close to 2 dozens of them on the various journeys. So on the ecosystem side also, we have partnered with Reserve Bank Innovation Hub, and I'm very glad to share that even in the recently G20 summit at Ahmedabad of the global finance ministers and the central bank governors, our KCC journey along with the Reserve Bank Innovation Hub was one of the showcase there. As well, we have also been working with Reserve Bank of India directly for their CBDC project, and we are one of the first set of pilot banks. So broadly, if we look at our digital aspirations over the next 2 to 3 years, we are looking at 50% of RAM acquisition happening through the digital channels, 15% of RAM, consequently RAM book, will come through the digital channels, 1 trillion of CASA is through the digital channel, and thirdly, we are looking at creating a digital enablers in such a way that will increase our customer satisfaction measured through CSAT score for the various products and the services. For that, we have already been strengthening and augmenting our core IT systems, applications, and hardware. We have taken multiple steps in the recent past. Along with that, there is added focus on the strengthening of the cybersecurity. In fact, currently, we are in the phase of building cybersecurity center of excellence, and many initiatives are being taken there in partnership with the best of the institutions. And third is obviously, which I just spoke about the digital platform, which has started, got building, which will have 3-4 key components of creating 350-plus seamless journey for various banking services, creating an omni-channel experience for the customer so that he can switch over from one channel to another channel in a seamless manner. Since the customer segments that we are seeing are multiple and varied, and every customer segment requires different kind of engagement and services, so we are also looking at creating a hyper-personalized experience on our mobile app and also using the AI technology for the conversational AI. Alongside, we are investing in a digital contact center for which RFP is in very advanced stage, and the timeline for the completion of the project is 6 months from the onboarding of the SI. And hopefully by in the fourth quarter, our digital contact center also will be up and running. The key differentiator from the current call center to the digital contact center will be that while the current call center is mostly responding to the inbound calls, this contact center, along with what it is being done, will actually be a sales and service center for the bank, and it will be a kind of business engine for the bank. We have rolled out during the last quarter all the packages of the customer relationship management, CRM, which we have developed with the Zoho Corp. And this CRM is also now on the maturity curve. In the next 6 months, as also contact center comes, we believe that CRM will be a good tool for our business. And the fourth part is that we are looking at leveraging the data. For that, we are investing in Data Lake and building an analytics center of excellence. There also, the RFP is in advanced stage, and hopefully in the next couple of months, we should be having our partners on board working on that. So broadly, the idea is to create a digital ecosystem where we engage more and more with the customers so that we become the prime bank for the customer, which will aid in higher business, higher CASA balance, higher transaction, and overall higher profitability, as well as saving on the OPEX for the bank. And today, as I speak, we have not only taken decisions, but most of the things are already on board and into building and implementation stage. Thank you.
We are now open for interaction.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am. Congratulations. Ma'am, my first question is on yield. So your yield on domestic loans has improved substantially this quarter. What are the drivers of the improvement? And is this margin sustainable now? I know you had guided to much lower for the year, but since you've already overachieved, is it sustainable? And also in the breakdown of interest income, you know, the interest earned on RBI balances looks much higher sequentially. So comment on that too, ma'am, please.
Good afternoon, madam. This is Samal this side. To your first question about the NIM and its sustainability. You know, we have also earlier given you a picture that we have around 90% of the loans which are floating rate loans linked to either, you know, 49% linked to MCLR and EBLR rest. So quite a good portion of the loan where the interest rate transmission was pending. That has been taking place during the quarter. So that was the reason why you would have seen a improvement in the yield on advances. Of course, the deposit rates have also gone up in the improvement of the cost of the deposits. But that has basically led to the improvement in margin. You know, there are also certain advances where still the interest rate transmission will be happening over the subsequent quarters. We have given a guidance to you to maintain a margin of around 3%, and we are trying very hard to, see that the margin remains protected at the 3% level overall. Towards this, we are also working in the deposit side to see that the deposit cost remains within control. Also, the CASA side, we are working on various initiatives. So we are very much, confident that we will be able to maintain a margin of around 3%. That's what the guidance we are given. The second question was about what was that? Interest.
RBI.
I think that was Mr. Bhatt, you can answer my additional income. That was the additional interest income from the RBI balances and all.
Yeah. RBI balances and others pertaining to swap transaction we did and which has resulted to around 600 to 700 crores additional interest income generated from the treasury operation.
Okay, but if we are guiding to margin of 3% and currently we are at 3.15, so we are expecting margins to come down during the course of the year?
We can't say exactly that, madam, because we have to see how the MPC decision on the rate hikes and all happens, and also what is the liquidity condition going ahead. As of now, it is positive because of the the demonetization and other related matters, and also credit demand has been not that aggressive. But going ahead, we'll have to see how this liquidity condition also prevails. So we have taken some conservative estimates, so that's why we have given a 3% kind of a guidance, madam.
Sure. And so my last question is, so when do you think deposit costs will peak? Will they continue to rise? How much more can deposit cost, your average deposit cost, rise from here?
Yeah.
No, so presently the cost of my deposits is about 4.97, and if you look at my deposit book, 27% of my deposit book is bulk deposits and 73% is retail and CASA. We hope to increase the CASA deposits and the low cost deposits numbers to maintain the cost of deposits, and we would like to bring it down much further. And it also depends on my credit offtake. If my presently my LCR is quite good at 161%, I have got sufficient liquidity, and I don't have to take bulk deposits from the market. If my credit outpaces, then I am sure that I have to take bulk deposits from the market, and that is where we will see a little bit of growth in my cost of deposits.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ashcon Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. Compliments, madam, for yet another quarter of...
Thank you, Ajmera-ji.
Your operating profit, your profit after tax, cost-to-income ratio, credit cost, everything has improved substantially. And the profit has increased in spite of the other income going down in this quarter to 3,903 crores against 5,269 in the last quarter, mainly because of the little less recovery in the return of account to only 692 crore against 2,954 crores in the last quarter. So my first question is on that the recovery on the return of accounts going forward in the coming three quarters, what do we see basically which comes to the bottom line of the bank? This is one. My another observation and question, madam, is on the if you look at your slide 3 of the presentation, I think something either I am reading it wrong or it says June 23 already actual versus March, overall target of March 24. I think this 12.33 is for last year, not for 23, because in the June quarter the credit growth is only 1%. So I think in this slide,
Ajmera ji, what we have given is the YOY growth. QOQ growth is 1.63, that is there in the slide somewhere, but what we have projected, what we have shown 12.33 is the YOY growth in advances.
Okay, so you are taking the last 9 months also. Yeah, anyway, so this quarter the growth is, credit growth is little mute, I mean at 1%. So going forward, are we meeting making the same target of 12% for the whole year? In the three quarters going forward, we will achieve that 12% credit growth. This is another one. And ma'am, just a small observation on our segment-wise results which have been given. They are very distorting in this quarter. While the treasury income has gone up to 1,262 crore from 660 crore, it is acceptable. But if you look at the retail, other retail segment-wise profit to 1,580 crore against 232 crore, corporate 1,492 crore against 2,800 crore, and the other 494 crore against 296 crore, and unallocated 303 crore against 8 crore. So is there any change in the segment-wise allocation of the income of the bank, or some the whole process, because segment is also very important to assess. So if Mr. Samal or can give some explanation for this, that why so much of variation in the segment-wise results in this quarter. That is my third this thing. And to Mr. Samal, again one, on the DTA, on the MAT revision, our tax provision in this quarter has gone up to 1,937 crore against 1,105 crore in the last quarter. Mm. That is mainly because of the DTA reversal of 1,329, MAT provision of 920 and MAT credit of 313. It means in actual effect, there is no tax in the real sense has been given. Just want a confirmation on that.
So, Ajmera ji, to start off with your first question, as regards the recovery in the written-off accounts, so recovery was last year a focus area and is going to continue as a focus area. We are fully aware of the fact that the industry, the system has a lot of stock of the written-off accounts, including our bank, and whatever schemes and whatever efforts in terms of recovery we are putting, so we are focusing on the written-off accounts where it gives addition to my OP. So for that purpose, we have a non-discriminatory NDND scheme that is currently also functional. It is available up to September, where we are able to settle loan accounts, borrowed accounts up to 5 crores, and we are able to give liberal settlement to our borrower customers. And we are finding a lot of traction in this, and with the scheme coming to a closure, I am sure in the remaining 3 months, we will be doing more settlement in this accounts.
Regarding the credit growth, Ram Subramanian here. Against our guidance of 12%, 10 to 12%, our credit growth year on year is 12.33%. Though in a quarter it was, as already Madam has told, it is 1.63%. We all know that the 12.33 growth which will be showing in the year on year, out of that our RAM portfolio has shown a growth of around 15%. Corporate has shown around 9.4% growth year on year. Though the corporate has shown less growth, we have already are having sanctions more than 25,000 crores, which are going to be dispersed during the current year. Already sanctions are in place and it will be dispersed. So we don't expect any problem in reaching our guidance figure, which has already been given around 12%, sir. And for remaining your questions, Mr. Samal will be answering it.
Ajmera Saab, namaste. Your first question was regarding the, I think, segment results, right? If you see specifically to the retail banking, you asked that it is 1,622 crores. If you see, year on year basis, the same quarter last year it was 1,476 crores. Of course, in the March quarter it was a bit lesser because there was some additional provisioning in that, certain accounts, including certain agriculture advances, which also because it is less than 7.5 crores, so it comes in that retail banking operation. So because of some higher provisioning, the profitability was lesser last quarter. Otherwise, if you see last year first quarter to this year first quarter, it is comparable. The same way in the corporate banking also, now corporate banking is gradually becoming profitable, the reason being that the aging provisions we have already almost taken care of, so the provisioning impact will be very, very less going forward. So corporate banking is gradually therefore making profitable. Then second question on the DTA. In fact, we have made a total provision of 1900 crore this quarter. Out of that, 1300 crore is towards deferred tax and 600 crore towards the current tax. That is what is. During the first quarter, what is normally done is the tax is provided on the estimated basis. What will be your estimated profit or estimated write-off provisioning for the full year, that is calculated, and based on that it is provided. So this is again subject to a future adjustment in the next quarter and all. So we believe that including the deferred tax reversal and all, our total tax liability could be something around 7,500 crore for the whole year. So accordingly, that is provided. So that is this is the first year we are going to, you know, start paying income tax. Last year onwards, up to last year there was brought forward losses. This year onwards we will be paying income tax. So we have also provided current tax 600 crore in the current quarter.
Thank you, Mr. Ajmera. May I request you to join the queue for any follow up?
Is this what just happened? Okay.
Mr. Ajmera, may I request you to join the queue for any follow ups as we have several participants?
No, this was just on the discussion only. Anyway, no problem.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot, sir. Ma'am, just a couple of questions. Just wanted to reconfirm, do we have any loan or ABLR which is linked to T-bill?
Who have, loans to T-bill? We have TBLR linked loan portfolio. And about 16% of our loan book is to the TBLR.
Okay, so did not we get any adverse impact since the yield came down, T-bill yield came down? So did not we get any adverse impact on the, on the loan yield because of the reset?
Literally speaking, it is they are not fixed actually. These are all floating only. It will be reset. Whenever the T-bill changes, automatically it will be reset. So we only take the spread out of that.
That's correct. So what I'm saying that in the previous quarter, in the Q1, the T-bill actually came down by around 40 to 43 bps, 1 year T-bill, 364 days. So was there any reset done for the loan linked to T-bill or not?
No, actually, see, these all were very short-term loans. We are not providing the T-bill rate for the long-term loans, actually speaking. So these are all maximum periods are 90 days, if you are looking at it. So automatically, when the things are getting over, we will be, what we are quoting, it is basing on the competition in the market. Again, that will be quoted. So there is no loss for the bank out of this.
So have we run off? Like, did not we renew that book?
Yeah, it was reduced. That's what my corporate growth is muted on that.
So after the renewal, whatever rate we would have got, that would be lower than the rate which was prevailing earlier?
Correct. That is the reason why we have not much aggressively quoted during the current quarter.
Okay. Got it, sir. So couple of other questions.
There was a small rundown in the corporate book, actually.
Okay. So, coming to the notes of accounts, so like in the PSLC, we accrued the income of 550 crore this quarter. What was the like-to-like number in the previous quarter and a year back, sir?
Last year, the income was close to about 120 crores.
Okay, this year it is 550 crores.
Yes, we have seen a growth of almost 430 bits YOY. In the PSLC numbers.
Correct, ma'am. Correct. And how much we are planning to sell, ma'am, in the remaining 9 months? Any number that we have in the mind, PSLC, how much we are planning to sell?
So now, see, if my rate, if it is good enough, then I will be doing it. As of now, I do not have anything in mind to sell off right now in this quarter.
Mr. Kumar, may I request to join the queue for any follow-ups as your several participants waiting for their turn?
Just one question, last one question I have.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, ma'am. So this sundry interest received is 303 crore. So what is the character of, if you can explain on that number related to notes of accounts number 18, what is that interest income number in the miscellaneous income? Hello.
Income tax refund. Income tax refund.
But that is in the other income line.
It goes in other income, right?
Not in the interest income line.
No, it doesn't go in the interest income. because it's not a regular kind of, it's not a lending activity. So whenever the income tax department, they complete the assessment, they give the refund, the small portion of interest also comes with that.
Okay, so we need to adjust the actually NII number to that extent, correct, Master? Though it is in the other income, but we have to, because
no, it is not a part of our net interest income. It is not a part of net interest income because it's not a lending activity as such. So therefore, we don't consider that.
Got it.
It's not a core business now.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks, man.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Munsa from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations for a great set of numbers and 1% ROA. My question on home loan, actually, home loan and corporate loans. So both these segments, which are probably more competitive, have been growing at a much lower pace than system. Corporate growth, we have been, if I look at last two quarters, has been more or less muted, flattish, or actually marginal decline for the last two quarters. At the same time, home loan, the growth is, of course, 10-11%, but which is much lower than the system number that we see from RBI. So I wanted to check your thoughts, ma'am, from a medium-term perspective, that how are you looking at both these segment, A, corporate, in terms of growth, and B, the home loan.
Sir, as you rightly told, these two fields are very, very highly competitive. How we are now, first regarding corporate loan, if I'm saying that, we now look at the overall profit from each corporate. We are also having our collection services provided to them. So that we can compete with the market where there is a very, very high competition is there in the rates. At the same time, we are also looking at some of the few new sector like your renewable energy and real estate where we can get us a higher margin. So, but we expect that we are also having, as I earlier told, we are also having a large number of amount which is already sanctioned and are in the various stages of disbursement. More than 25,000 crores is under disbursement. Hence, we don't see that any decline in growth in the corporate sector in the coming days. As regards to retail, yes, though we are, as you told that we are lesser than the industry growth, but if you are looking at it, we are consistently growing in the housing sector. And now, last year, we have undertaken the verticalization of the entire retail portfolio, and now everything underwriting is being done by retail loan points. And though the delivery is at the branches. So now all the structures, everything is in place. And we expect that TAT will be improving and we will be showing excellent growth during the current year.
Just to add on that, regarding the home loans, what we have seen last year, a lot of centralization has given benefits to the bank. So a home loan in one particular area, tying up with builders. So that we found that we need to actually improve, ramp up. And what we have done this time, that the builder project approvals are all centralized at the central office. That itself will increase our penetration in the builder new projects that are coming up across the country. And with that, of course, the home loan growth will be further improving.
Right.
If you are looking at it, our education portfolio, which has shown a 33% growth. We are now focusing on a high value education loans, where it is to the premier institutes or abroad studies only, where more or less it is a very good job opportunities or it is fully collateralized. So we also find that this is a great avenue for the bank, and also for the new generation customer acquisition also it helps us on that.
Right. Sir, your yield on advances, right? This question was, I think, was asked earlier also. It has grown, the yield on advances has grown by, has increased by 40 basis point QOQ, which is actually higher than what it was, higher than the uptick seen in the last quarter. Of course, there is a floating loans getting repriced. There are two questions. One, A, do you think that because the repricing should continue in, let's say, second quarter as well, so similar kind of an yield improvement is possible in yield on advances? And B, is there any, you know, some other factor also, such as maybe the interest recovery on NPA, you know, bulky NPA or something else, which, you know, may have helped this number, yield on advances? Or this should be assumed to be...
See, my MCLR book is close to 50% of my loan book. And during the current quarter, just about 25% of my MCLR base book has been repriced. So going forward, I do have a book of about 2,76,000 crore of advances, which are still to be repriced. And for the next three quarters, it will be repriced accordingly. Then I also have, recovery also I'm looking at in written off accounts and where it is fully provided. In those sectors also, there will be an interest reversion, and I'm also looking at interest income coming from that portfolio.
Right. So 25% has already, that got repriced in this quarter, right? That is first quarter.
Yeah, in June quarter, it has been repriced.
Right. Understood, ma'am. And lastly, on bulk deposits, so we have 25-27% of the deposits under bulk category. Is that the blended cost of bulk deposit in a way is low? Lower than the TD cost, or how has that behaved?
That will be a little higher, between 20 to 30 bps than the retail cost of the deposit.
Okay. And is that the trend getting better there, sir? I mean, the bulk deposit, isn't the cost moderating at a slightly faster pace?
Yeah, it is moderating at the current level because both demand supply matches.
Right.
And expectation of the rate cut in the coming fourth quarter of the financial year also looked into.
Plus, there is enough liquidity in the market right now, and so we are seeing a moderation in the rate of bulk deposits.
Sure. And I have a last question, ma'am, on ECLGS, right? So we have mentioned around 16,700 crore sanctions. If you can share the outstanding number and as well as the NPA that is there.
Yeah, the outstanding is around 8,700 crores and NPA is to the tune of 5.93%. But these are all, there is a guarantee on these accounts which has been given by the government. So we have no problems in recovering this amount.
5.93% is on sanctions amount, right? Because that
yes,
is how.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, madam, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi team. Congrats and good afternoon. Just a couple of questions from my side. If I look at the slippages breakup across segments, you have seen elevated slippages from the corporate segment this quarter. Can you give some color on what sector these slippages have come from?
Yeah, we had slippages to the tune of 1,200 crores from the corporate credit, and it is only one or two accounts, and that is only in the LRD segment that we have got one LRD segment that we have got, and others were small loans that the RBI had flagged off. But they had not asked us to classify that NPA, but we took a view to classify this account.
Okay, ma'am. Perfect. And secondly, if I look at the staff cost number, the non-staff cost number, that has declined by 7% quarter on quarter. What would explain this decline?
Ashleshji, if you see our Q4 number last year, there are some additional items like the PLI was there, the performance linked incentive provision was there, the family pension, one-time family pension, it was fully provided, where we were supposed to, you know, amortize it over next 4 years. We have provided the entire amount of 1500 crores. So that was the main reason why the Q4 of last year staff cost was higher. So that is now normalized, actually.
So I was more curious about the non-staff cost part, which has come down by 7% QOQ.
Non-staff cost. Okay. That's also normal. Basically, what happens, it is usual for the normal first quarter kind of business. Normally, OPEX used to be a lower side because most of the expenses, you know, the payments are made in the fourth quarter. So normally, fourth quarter, the OPEX used to be on a higher side. But otherwise, if you see on you know, quarter to quarter basis, year on year basis, June 22, it was 2,300 crore. 2,298 crore, and June 23 it is 2,300. So slight increase on year on year basis.
Okay, sir, perfect. And just lastly, can you provide can you share the number of employees who are still part of the defined benefit pension scheme?
That will provide you right now. That number is not available with me. I'll provide you separately.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And just one last clarification, if I may. The YOA number, the yield number which we give in our presentation, would that be a yield on assets number or a yield on advances number for us?
Yield on which yield you are talking? YOA means the yield on advances. Right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, first of all, I wanted to have a clarification. You mentioned about 600 to 700 crores of some additional income, right? What was that account of?
600 to 700 additional income during Q1.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have not mentioned any such thing. In fact, Q1, there were some additional income. One was the PSLC certificate, sale of private sector certificate, which was 550 crore, plus there was the income tax refund of 300 crore.
And 300 crores is what?
That is income tax refund.
In income tax.
700 was recovery in write-off
account. Recovery, so that normally we get.
Okay. So 550 crores was PLC extra additional.
Sector certificate sale.
Okay, understood. And sir, in terms of your cost to income, I think we have seen a big improvement, right, in this quarter. So how do we see that going ahead and our ROA aspirations? Yeah.
The cost to income, we will be something around 44 to 45%. That is what we are trying to reach. basically, so we are well placed to achieve that. The number one is that the benefits from digitization and other activities will come, and second is through our outsourcing through our wholly owned subsidiary UBI Services Limited, wherein we have been lot of marketing of the loan products as well as the back office operations and all being outsourced. That expansion is also in a very good phase. So that will save. Apart from that, whatever branch rationalization and all that we have done, that cost will be definitely continue to accrue to us. Apart from that, we have been focusing on the fee-based income, which is basically this year fee-based income focus will be again on the transaction banking side, on the third-party income like wealth management, insurance product and all, credit card will be the primary focus on the fee-based income. Considering that, we believe that we will be able to have that guidance of around 44% to 45% cost to income ratio.
Understand. And ROA aspirations over the medium term?
Yeah, that was in fact every time you were asking the same question when the bank is going to achieve a ROA of 1%, you are always telling you ki it will be the 2025, but we will always earlier we were telling, but we are aiming to achieve it much earlier than what much earlier than 2025. So basically there are three things to achieve this. One is that the credit cost, which is very important, and we are very closely checking that. So our recovery efforts and the slippages control. This is one thing, because that is the sole thing which determines your ROA. So we believe that our credit cost will be remain under control over the next year, this year, and going forward also, credit cost will be under control. That is one thing. Non-interest income side, we are very focused. Last year we have had around 30% kind of growth. This year also we have been focusing on that to have that kind of a growth. So we are putting our best efforts to see that we maintain this. That is our endeavor, sir.
Okay, maintain this 1% ROA. Right?
Yeah.
Understood. That's it from my side, sir. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the provision. So, you have mentioned that our gross NPA target is coming below 6%. What kind of target we have for the net NPA? And also, the credit cost was substantially lower this quarter. So, do you feel that for rest of the year also it will be in this range?
Last year also we did a good recovery, though the guidance was around 16,000 crores, we did around 20,000 plus crores. This year also the guidance which we have given for recovery is around 16,000 crores, and we have done in the first quarter 3,500 plus crores, which we intend to better off in the remaining 9 months, and we'll be doing better. So guidance for GNPA is around below 6%, and net NPA would be around below 1%.
Okay, and what about credit cost?
Same as I mentioned, we are very much taking very much very concerned steps on this area to check the slippages as well as recovery. I think we have done aggressive provisioning in the earlier years, that you have seen our provision coverage ratio is more than 90%. So we are therefore expecting that going forward, aggressive provisioning is not required. And through our recovery mechanism and all, we are not expecting any substantial slippages. So that will keep our credit cost under control. So you will not see any surprises, I believe, in terms of the credit cost. It will be in the similar range.
Okay, so 10-15 basis point plus or minus, but it will be in this range only, credit.
That's all, yeah.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Ashok Kajmera from Ajcon Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving this opportunity again. Sir, I got I might have missed in between. This employee cost in this quarter has come down to 3,183 crore as compared to the last quarter of 4142. Whether the trend is going to be the same around 3,200 every quarter hereafter, or is there any provision to be done which is left out?
No, sir. Last Q4 was exception because of the absorption of the one-time family pension cost. That was exceptional. Otherwise, there is nothing exceptional in the employee cost side. So normal increments and all will happen. So it will be similar only, sir.
And sir, my another question is on the provision for the probable, I mean, ECL, expected credit loss. So whenever it comes, like the guidelines are getting now pumped up. So how much cushion do we already have, and how much direct provision we have done in anticipation of the future credit loss?
Sir, what we are doing is that based on the particular account, we make specific account specific provisioning sometimes. So what is required under the RBI IRAC norms, we tend to provide little more in the accounts. That's why our you see our provision coverage ratio has gone close to 91%. That is one thing. So we have not so far created any specific floating provisions which you are referring about to take care of the ECL. The reason being that we believe that the ECL can be better controlled through the monitoring mechanism, through control of the SMAs and all. Because on the NPA side, we have provided enough, so nothing more should come from ECL side.
So any other buffer provision, sir, any other like COVID provision or any buffer which we have, the provision other than the IRAC?
That COVID restructuring provisions are continued to be there in the book. So that is as per the RBI guidelines. What I mean to say is that the ECL provision which we are mostly talking about is the differential is mainly coming from the SMA, stage 2 assets.
SMA 2, yes.
So that is basically we are very closely and critically monitoring and trying to reduce. And it has been, if you see, last few years, we used to have SMA assets double digit 15% or that has not come to below 4%. So we have been gradually seeing the reduction in the in terms of the ECL provisioning, which we will see further reduction also. So we are trying to control that. So therefore, we believe that there may not be very substantial impact going forward, maybe 1 year later when we will be actually moving to the ECL mechanism and we should be able to absorb that.
And last is on NARCL. Any color on that? Because we have stopped talking about that now, I think. Things are not happening there, or we expect now in the coming two quarters at least something to happen there, which may majorly, you know, bring in some money here.
So, Admira ji, last year already three accounts have seen the settlement. They have been transferred successfully. Amount of 990 crores around was involved, and the recovery for the bank was around to the tune of 46%. Now we have, in addition to this, another 8 set of accounts where the NARCL has given us the price, and the process for accepting those bids are on the way. Another 10 set of accounts are there where the NARCL is doing their due diligence, and they, in due course, they will be sharing us the price to look at. So this is the thing, and process is going on. 3 accounts already settled. Another set of 20 accounts, 25 accounts we are seeing. Probably will be seeing the first recovery through NARCL.
Thank you, Mr. Ashmeera. Request you to join the question queue for any follow-ups. The next question is in the line of Sarvesh Mehta from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I had one question. Can you give a breakup of fee-based income and treasury income? Thank you.
None there then,
sir.
Okay. That breakup is available. The treasury income is something around 775 crore, comprising of, you know, exchange income of 261 crore. Rest is from the normal, you know, profits from the trading activities as well as mutual funds. Then the other one you have asked.
Core fee based income. Hmm.
The core fee based income.
2133.
Yeah. Now that also I'll exact. The core fee based income, now.
1947 crore for the Q1, as against 1679 crore the current corresponding figure of the last year.
No, within fee-based income, like forex income or any other breakup within that.
Forex, but there's no forex income.
As treasury is concerned, 775 crores, out of which forex income is 261 crores. Remaining are sale of investment profit on SLR, non-SLR, and mutual fund activity. That is around 500 crores.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, everyone. And we hope that we have clarified all the issues that you have raised here. We are very extremely thankful to the analysts for the positive things that you talk about of Union Bank, and we'll be closely interacting with you in the next few days also, because the bank is in the process of raising QIP, so we'll be interacting with you more often. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.